Worry free finances. Tithing consistently. What is tithing? Okay. Those were all right. That was great. Tithing is bringing the first 10% of your income to God through your local church. Is what tithing is. Bringing the first 10% of your income to God through your local church. Absolutely. And it tells me that everybody was listening. That's great. And that's the first step to worry-free finances. That has impacted my life in tremendous ways. I mean, in just ways to where one of the biggest things it's done for me is through tithing, I know that I don't have to worry about where my next job is going to come from. I don't have to worry about, am I going to have enough for my bills? Because I know that I am, because I'm a consistent tither. And I know that, and God's proved that to me. Actually, that's the only time in the entire Bible that God says, prove me or test me in Malachi chapter 3 there. He says to test him in this. And then the second step to worry-free finances was budgeting. What are we going to do? We're going to do 90 days of documenting our spending first. We're going to, Denise, she's like, no. We're going to do 90 days of documenting our spending, because if we don't know where it's going, how can we ever budget it? So the first thing we're going to do is do 90 days of that. We're going to focus on that. And then from there, we can adjust our budget accordingly to, you know, fit our personal life. You know, the numbers that I gave you last week, the certain percentages for certain things was just an idea, a scale. You know, those might not be exactly for your life. You know, 32% I think it was for your home. You know, like I said, those can be adjusted. And when you do the 90 days of documenting your spending, adjust that accordingly. Has anybody started that? Anybody started documenting their spending? I see a few heads and the rest of people are going, yeah, sure. Yeah, I started that. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, there you go. That makes it easy then. So you put eating out, zero. Movies, zero. But, you know, yeah. You know, but even though you're doing that, you still need to document like your bills. You need to document everything you're spending, because that's, you know, that's going to be the beginning of the budget, is seeing where our money goes. Because, like I said, how can we budget it if we don't know where it goes? I hate it when my wife documents my spending, because then I know where it goes. Yes. This much to Pizza Hut, this much to Beef O'Brady's, Arby's, Taco Bell. And, you know, and then that's kind of... Oh, the truth comes out, Gary. Gotcha. Okay. Well, then, I really don't have an answer for that. At all. You guys, you know, need to work that out. We'll get you a book you can read and talk about, you know, communicating and things. I've read this really good book that can help with your marriage and communicating. So we'll just go from there on that. Tonight, though, we're going to talk about the third principle, which is the foundation of a generous spirit. Because developing a generous spirit is so much more than just giving things away. Developing that spirit of generosity within us means that we realize that things aren't ours, that it is really, as the Bible says, better to give than to receive, you know, through developing that spirit of generosity. Because if we don't have that, we're really missing a major part of the equation. So if we're going to follow God's prescription for handling our money, a generous spirit is essential. It's a vital part of understanding God's plan for his money. Because in all reality, our money's not ours anyway. And it helps us to grasp that concept that all good and perfect gifts come from the Father above, you know, that it's his anyway. And when I grasp that reality that it's not mine, I take better care of it, like I said last week. I've always drove the other guy's car better than I drive my own. So when I realize that the money's not mine, I manage it a lot better when I realize it's his. So the third principle is generosity. Our commitment is to make sure that we build a generous spirit in our hearts and in our minds. Because like I said, that's a missing link for so many people. They tithe, they budget, but then what's left, it's theirs. They don't give. They don't. I love it when God compels me to spontaneously give. I love it. Absolutely love it. It happens all the time to me. Sometimes it doesn't. Every time we take a trip, I set aside some cash, put it in my wallet, just for that opportunity when God might tell me to bless this waiter or this waitress, or to do this or to do that. And on our last trip, I wasn't compelled at all to do that, above and beyond, you know, the normal tipping, of course. You know, so, but it's just being prepared. It's being prepared to hear the voice of truth. Because so many times, we're not even, through tithing and through mainly through tithing, though, it helps us to hear that voice of truth more clearly because we're obedient, automatically obedient to God through tithing. Tithing is not anything that you pray about. It is not something that you have to sit down and discuss, you know, amongst yourself. It's just something you should automatically do. It's the first response to my increase in my income is a tithe. First response. The generosity and things like that, you know, sometimes we need to put some prayer into it. Generous is defined as willing to give and share, not petty or small in character and mind, open-handed. One of the definitions that Webster gives for the word spirit, the activating or essential principle influence in a person, an inclination, impulse, or tendency of a specified kind, a special attitude or frame of mind. Thank you. Isn't it good to know that you're loved? It's funny because my mouth gets dry. I was bidding a job the other day. And when I bid a job, I still want to be generous. I pray before I go to bid every job. And I say, God, help me to bid this fair for me and fair for them. Before I go bid every job I do. And I'm sitting there talking. I was getting nervous because I just do. You know, I'm doing this. The lady said, would you like a bottle of water? No, I'm good. My daughter doesn't even ask. She just brings it to me. So the definition for spirit, the activating or essential principle influencing a person, a special attitude or frame of mind, the feeling, quality, or disposition characterizing something. See, having a generous spirit isn't just about giving away large sums of money. A willingness to freely give our resources is a part of that. To freely give. Like I said, it's not mine. So to always be prepared to understand that what I have in my pocket does not belong to me. So it's not always about giving hundreds of thousands or even $50. Sometimes a generous spirit just means that we show an act of kindness, of love. It might be so much as leaving, you know, whatever the normal tip is. What is it now, 12%? So say you leave, you know, of that $5 tip, leave a 20. You know what I'm saying? But it's not about necessarily about giving large sums of money, but it's about having the attitude of a generous spirit, which is so much different. So it says a willingness to freely give our resources is part of it. But being generous is really more about the spirit that we carry within us, the attitude of our hearts and minds. It's choosing to live open-handed rather than tight-fisted. A generous spirit is more important to financial freedom. But more importantly, it's a mark of a healthy Christian who's living according to God's word. Think about what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, he didn't just give leftovers. He didn't give, you know, the bottom of the barrel. He gave the whole stinking barrel. You know what I mean? God gave it all. So many times when you see people give, say we're doing the free yard sale and they show up with the junk. And yes, thank you for the junk. Somebody buys that every time. But to me, a generous spirit means that sometimes I do give till it hurts. Sometimes you give until it hurts, period. Because sometimes in response to God, we give above and beyond what we're comfortable. Let me rephrase that. We give above and beyond what we're comfortable giving. Because God sometimes gets us out of our comfort zone. He gets us out of our comfort zone. Friday night we talked about, the verse said, God, know my heart and test my thoughts. See, I want God to know my heart, to know that my heart belongs to him, that I'm willing to do what he tells me to do. And then he'll test my thoughts to see where my mind is going. Know my heart, but test my thoughts, God, to see if there's anything in me that makes you sad, is what the verse goes on to say. Do you think that greediness makes God sad? I believe it does. One of the best ways to break the selfishness in your life is to develop a spirit of generosity. To realize, for one thing, that there's always somebody worse off than me. And the little bit that I might have that I could give to them when God prompts me to. I'm not talking about just going around and handing out your money randomly. I'm talking about being prompted by God to do his will, to show his love through giving. Generosity should not only be a core value that influences what we do, but also a defining characteristic of who we are. I have had people respond to God's voice. I hope they did, because it was some pretty big things they've given me. I hope they didn't just do it to do it. I had someone give me a car, and I was very uncomfortable taking that, because see, one of the hard things to do is to receive. It's a lot easier for me to give than it is to receive. And see, I see a lot of heads shaking yes. And that's hard. But, you know, if we can't receive from people that God's telling to give to us, how can we receive the blessings that God's trying to pour out to us? We can't. We're blocking him. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes. It's really hard for me. Sometimes it's so hard for me that when I finish a job and I charge a certain amount per hour for my guys and me that work, it's hard for me to even turn that bill in because I feel like it's too much. And it really is sometimes. That's tough. Today, the guys finished a job. I tallied up their hours and did my math, and I'm like, man, that just seems like a lot of money to me. And by all means, these people are very well-to-do. You know, they've got four lots and shops and campers and motorcycles and all this, but it's not about that. It's about me having integrity and having a generous spirit and wanting to do what's right is what it's about. But, you know, my wife had to tell me, here's what you charge and this is what you charge, because otherwise you lose money, and you're not in business to lose money. Because how can I be a blessing if I don't receive the blessings? And the Bible says we're blessed to be a blessing, right? So if I can't receive these blessings, how can I bless other people? So I have to also learn to receive, because otherwise I can't give. And that's a huge thing, especially for someone that has been selfish their entire life. And then when they get saved, they just don't want to take. You know what I mean? Because they've been takers their entire life, so they don't want to take. And if all you do is give, if your outgo exceeds your intake, your upkeep becomes your downfall. So if all you do is give, 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 and you don't receive, you're fixing to end up broke. You know, you don't give your house payment away. And I saw a guy on TV the other day, and it made me sick. He said, if you will give 1 month's house payment, your house will be paid for in a year. And this guy's on TV all the time. That's a lie. Do not believe those things. Period. God has done it, yes. God can do it, yes. And God will do it again, yes. But not because you listen to some guy on the TV telling you to do this, period. And don't fall for that stuff. I gotta watch my language sometimes. Don't fall for that stuff, okay? Don't, period. Stand on the promises of God. And there's a procedure sometimes to receive that promise, absolutely. That's what these three steps that we've talked about the last 3 weeks are. They're a procedure to receive the promise in Malachi. Because so many times we latch onto that promise and we say, well, God said that if I bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he'll open up the floodgates and pour out blessings that I can't contain. But do you hear the procedure in that to receive that promise? If I'll bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, not just a part, but the whole tenth. Because obviously the people back then were bringing something. Like I said before, they were dropping a dollar in the bucket, but they weren't bringing the whole tithe. So many times we miss the procedure. So I've tried to give us this procedure over the last 3 weeks. Generous actions that don't flow from a generous heart aren't pleasing to God or the people that we direct them towards. True generosity is determined by the condition of the heart. I'm going to read a verse to you here. Proverbs 23:6-8 shows us that we can actually have generous actions without having a generous heart or a spirit. It says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. See, he did an act of kindness, but in his heart he wasn't generous. He probably does it for show. Hey, look, I'm giving this away. Hey, look what I'm doing. But see, when you really have a generous spirit, really and honestly, you don't want people to know what you're doing. You know, when you do that, when you leave that tip that's $200, you want to run out the door and look through the window to make sure the busboy doesn't pick it up instead of the waitress. But you want to, it's an attitude of the heart, a generous spirit is. It's not necessarily about the action, because the action without the right attitude is really wasted gifts. The action without the right attitude is wasted gifts. So why should we cultivate a generous spirit? The Bible tells us to, mainly. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Simply put, the Bible tells us to. It tells us to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. Do you know in the Bible the word believe is used 408 times, pray 438 times, love 763 times, and give 1,729 times? Do you think it's important to God that we learn to give? I do. I think it's extremely important. And like I said, if God is not prompting you to, I've done lots of good deeds, but I want to do the God deeds. I want to do the things that He tells me to do directly. That is a huge difference. Love, faith, hope, and love. What's the most important? Love. It's only mentioned 763 times, but yet give is 1,729. I think it's something we need to grasp. I really do. It's something that we need to grasp, how important as Christians it is to be givers. And yes, by all means, you know, and when God prompts me to give, that's not part of my tithe. Okay, if God does prompt me to send Joel Osteen some cash, and he might do that. Joel Osteen reaches a lot of people. I'm not saying don't pour into the kingdom things that have an eternal effect. So many times we pour into things that have a now and today, and we miss the eternal aspect of giving. But when God tells us to do things like that, that is not our tithe. I'm not talking about that. Your tithe is the first thing you do, which is 10%. Giving above and beyond that, you want to see blessings. That's when things in my life really begin to change drastically. And I love to see other people. I know there's some people in the room that have generous spirits by all means. Some people have blessed me in big ways. And I had a guy call me one day. He said, "Jason, where are you at?" And I said, "I'm in town." He said, "Well, pull over at such and such place and I'll meet you there." So I pull over and he comes up and he says, "Man, I love you. Thanks for doing what you're doing." He gives me a check. And these are for such odd amounts that only God could be directing this. You know, let's just say it's $173.14. And I'm like, "I appreciate that. Why is that number on there?" I'm like, "Why did you write it for that amount?" And he says, "That's just what God told me to do." And I'm like, "Okay." With a number like that, God had to say it. You know, you're not going to come up with that on your own, 14 cents. You know, so you see what I'm saying, though? It's interesting because, I don't know, when somebody calls you and says, "Where are you at? Pull over, and I'll be right there." You know, and then when you get there, they give you a check for such and such amount. It's neat to see people pouring into my life out of a spirit of generosity has helped me to develop that by receiving the gifts that they have offered. So clearly, giving is important to God, so it should be important to us too. When we get saved, one of the first things that I hope and pray breaks in our lives is selfishness. Because not only was God not selfish when He sent His Son, but Jesus was not selfish when He chose to go to the cross and die for us. So selfishness is something that should be broken in our lives pretty quickly when we truly accept Christ. It's just something that changes in us. And if it doesn't change, let me write some checks for you and give some money away. Because when you start giving, it breaks the greed of self. It breaks the back of selfishness in your life. It does. Psalms 37:21 tells us, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. If we're Christians who are choosing God's way, generosity really isn't an option. It's part of how God expects us to live. He expects that from us. I love it when the young lady got up here Sunday. Some of you don't go to church here, and I understand that, so I'm going to share a little bit about the church here. Our church is a very loving church. When there is someone that is going to, this young lady is going to take a mission trip. She was going to Africa originally. She's not now. I don't remember where she's going, so we'll use the word Africa. She's going to Africa. Thailand, okay. She's going to Thailand, and she got up on the stage Sunday and had some simple white t-shirts with some ink on there that said love and had a picture of Africa. So this church has such a spirit of generosity in it that she's selling t-shirts back there. And I saw her have to get two different jars to hold the money in because she's doing something for God, so the people in here are prompted by God to help her. You know, if you're not in a church that is a giving church, that is a loving church, that is reaching out into the community and helping people, I'm going to suggest finding a new church. Because you know what God's all about? He's all about people. Not only reaching the lost, absolutely, but equipping the saints too. Those that are saved, equipping them to do his work and his will that he's asking them to do. So I love it when I see this church pouring back into God's work. I love it. I love to see that. Sunday, she had two jars that were packed. She went and got something else. It was packed. And I love to see that. I love it. It's great. I don't like to see preachers that, if you don't, we can't. I don't like to see people that say that, like I said earlier, that through giving, they make promises on God's behalf that they're not, you know, they don't have the right to make, and things like that. Generosity is the essence of godliness. Like I said, God so loved that he gave, and he didn't just give anything. He gave what was most precious to him, his son. In this room, if we're saved, we're only saved by God's grace, which grace is a gift. We can't earn it. So he loves us enough that he gives us salvation free through his son. Jesus gave his life for us. He didn't hold anything back. So if we're going to be like him, we're going to have to be willing to give. Sometimes we're going to have to be willing to give the things that are the most precious to us. When they gave me a car, that car meant a lot to to those people that gave me that car. They wanted that car really bad. And then they realized that maybe God didn't tell them to buy that car. So you see what they did with it? They gave it away. Sometimes we do things in life for ourselves when in all reality we were supposed to be doing something for someone else. So sometimes we do need to step and look at things that we don't use anymore. You know, sometimes we have all these toys. You have a four-wheeler you've rode once in 2 years. You have a boat you haven't even fished out of, and you've already missed crappie season this year. I'm sorry. But that boat sits in your yard, and it's paid for. You ever thought about giving something like that away? Seriously. And no, I'm not saying I need a boat by any means. I don't have time to fish. Don't give me a boat. But imagine that. Imagine when God actually says, hey, you hadn't used that thing in 2 years. Why don't you be a blessing to somebody? There's a pastor down in Texas. Robert Morris is an extreme giver. At one point, God prompted him to give away everything he had in his checking account. My wife would slap me. She'd say, God didn't tell me that. But you know what he did? He gave away everything that was in his checking account. And I don't remember the period of time that it was replenished plus. See, but God prompted him to do that. He didn't just randomly give away without hearing the voice of truth. You know what the Bible says too? That his sheep know his voice. So see, if we're his children, we should know his voice. We should. Basically put, we can't be stingy and Christ-like at the same time. The two just don't go together. Christ was not and is not stingy. He blesses us freely each and every day. If you look at your life, you lead a blessed life. At the moment, it looks like maybe you don't have anything financially, but you're still healthy. Kids are healthy. Just look a little deeper. Sometimes our pocketbook is empty, but sometimes when our pocketbook is empty, we have to reach that much harder for God. Stand on his promises. Go through the procedures. When we have compassion and are moved to act generously on someone else's behalf, we're sowing good seeds that cause good things to grow in our lives. To me, money is a seed. That's what it is. Money is a seed that I'm able to sow into people's lives. And by all means, yes, I firmly believe in paying my bills. I pay my bills and take care of what I'm supposed to. Because another aspect, do you think that when we go around representing Christ and we say we're Christians, but we're late every month, we bounce 4 checks a month, that represents Christ in any positive way? It does not. That brings us back to last week in budgeting. We need to represent Christ in a good way. I don't want Mr. Cole down at the bank saying, yeah, Jason, your shirt on the back has a big red cross that said to God be the glory, but you've had 6 hot checks. Because he's not going to want any part of that, is he? They're not. We need to represent Christ with honor, with integrity, with his money properly. One of the things, and I've been a little confused on this sometimes. The Bible talks about giving gifts to the rich. That it's, I don't know, it's, I can't remember the exact verse, but it said that's not necessarily a good thing. And sometimes I like to do that when God prompts me to, just to show them, do a job for free for a rich person because God prompts me to let them see that it's not about money, to let them see that it's about building relationships and getting to know them. When I went to bid a job yesterday, this man was probably in his late 80s, and I sat and talked with him for about 30 minutes. And we got to talking, and he kept asking me for a price. And I said, I really don't know. I said, let me think about it. He wasn't going to let me leave without giving him a price. So I shot him a cheap price, and then he wanted to come down $50 more. He's got a spirit of generosity. But you know what God told me? God told me I'm going to do that one for free to show him that $50 doesn't mean anything. I'm going to do the whole job for free. And I like to share it, as I said last week, with the guys that work for me. Hey, we're going to do this one for free because I want you to see that it's not about money. I want the guys that work for me to see. No, they're not going to. I pay them. No, they get paid. Miranda's like, do they agree to work for free? No. But after we get done with the job, I say, and I'll just tell them somehow, you know, well, God prompted me to do this or prompted me to do that on this job. So I'm hoping that they'll see also that when they work for me, it's not always about money. That it's about building relationships with this 80-something-year-old man who lost a son 2 years ago, and that son lost his wife 2 years before that. You know what I mean? But when you go to talk to him through a spirit of generosity, I'm not thinking, how much money can I get? I'm thinking about that person and building that relationship. And that guy knew my grandpa, who's been dead for a couple of years. He knew my grandma, who's still alive. And then I found out how he heard about me. It's just neat to get into their lives. I ask him, well, what did you do for a living? And first thing he said was, I worked over here for 18 years. He said, and all I did was got a check every week. It had no pension, had none of this. So see, dig a little deeper and see if they can really afford to have it done. Through random acts of kindness, how do I know what that's going to sow into that man's life? I don't. We did a job for a lady. We were doing a job up in the Ash Flat area one time. And this lady, very unique lady will be the phrase that I use, very unique, pulled up and said, can you guys come down and help me? I've got to put some beams up on my property. And I'm thinking, what? And she said, I'll give you 20 racks of ribs if you can come down and do it. I'm like, no, I don't need any ribs. I'm good. And we loaded up all our tools, and we're headed out of Cherokee Village. And we get to the edge of Cherokee Village, and I said, guys, we got to turn around and go back. So we go back to this lady, and we get up, and she's building this thing. She's unique. That's all I can say. She's building this thing out back of her house, and we get up there, and we put these big beams up and attach it all together for her. And she says, would you like 20 racks of ribs? I'm like, no, I really don't. Thanks anyway. And we leave and drive down the road. And I realized that I did an act of kindness and never once shared the gospel. I told her. I was supposed to actually verbally tell this woman. Turn around and come back. And she's standing at the end of the driveway waiting for us. She said, God told you to come back and pray, didn't he? And she starts dancing and jumping up and down. She said, please pray with me. Please pray. She was unique. And the guy was like, did you get me into? He said, whose ribs do you think she was trying to give us? He did. He was like, whose ribs do you think those were? I was like, shut up about the ribs. You know? So we get out to pray with this lady, and she grabs our hands and she squeezes. She said, just pray for me. She said, I'm alone. Just pray for me. We pray with her. We look up and we're done. She's crying, which makes me cry. She starts dancing again. Hey, David Dancer. What can I say? David danced the Lord. This woman starts dancing again. I'm like, get in the van. Hurry up. Let's go. We did our part. But God prompted me to not only do the act of kindness, but to go back directly and to say, hey, ma'am, I'm sorry I did this, but let me tell you about my best friend. Let me tell you about it. And she knew him already. She acted like, I said, ma'am, we did all this for you. You know, I said, but I'm supposed to pray for you. I said, can I tell you about a friend I met a few years ago? So sometimes through these acts of kindness and the spirit of generosity, it's not about giving anything material. It's not about giving anything monetary, but it's about giving Christ. Because above all, what does everyone need? A Savior. That's the most important thing that we can give, is our best friend, our relationship with Christ. It's the most important thing we can give. Because sometimes we don't have money. Sometimes we paid our bill on time and our checkbook says zero. But we tithed first, so our bills are all paid. So, Proverbs 11:24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. the Bible, you know what I love about the Bible? It is plain and to the point. There's no beating around the bush with that. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, while the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. I've met people who it seems like should have ran out of things to give a long time ago, and they're still giving. You want rewind? You want the verse? You want the address? Proverbs 11:24. See, faith and fear are opposites. Fear causes us to cling tightly to what we have, while faith enables us to willingly share what we have, knowing that God will honor our generosity. The two main reasons why people don't tithe and don't give. Fear that 90% will not be enough. And stinginess, plain and simple greediness. Lack of faith and greedy are the two reasons why people don't tithe and why they don't give. Some people don't understand that 90% is always enough with God, and that 100% is never enough without Him. Never. You get the big house, you get a new truck, but you don't tithe. And you're to the point in life where you'll give everything away for a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, because you spend your entire livelihood trying to pay those bills. With 90%, I have a peace about me knowing that I'm always going to have enough. And not only is that enough for me, but it's more than enough to give. It is amazing how much God allows me to give, and yet my bank accounts get more and more. The more I give, the more I get. And that's the truth. The more I give, the more I get. It's said that we live by what we get, but we build a life by what we give. Philemon 1:6 says you are generous because of your faith. And I'm praying that you will really put your generosity to work. For in doing so, you will come to an understanding of all good things we can do for Christ. True faith moves us into action. In fact, faith without action really isn't faith at all, is it? We say we believe in Christ. We say we have faith. But yet, it's mine. Take it and stick it in my pocket and it's mine. Faith without action is really dead. God wants us to be in a place of strength and health in every area of our life so that we can be a blessing to others. So we've established the importance of building a generous spirit, but it won't happen on our own. We have to get a vision for it and be intentional. Amy, you want to help me for a minute? And Mama, you want to help me hand some things out for me? We have to be very intentional about our giving. Like I said, it's not just random. My wife and my daughter have a gift for each of you tonight. I want to help you to be intentional in your giving. They're going to give you $10, and they're going to give you a card. And that card on it says, who's got the card? Robin, do you? Will you bring me a card, please? I had one and I lost it. Let me read this card to you. Sometimes the hardest part is sharing the gospel. The easy part is giving the money away. And that's the truth. Sometimes it's really easy to just do that act of kindness and then to be gone, but not to share that I'm doing this because of the love of Christ that compels me. So what they're going to do is they're going to give you $10 and they're going to give you this card. I know a young lady printed these cards up a while back and thought they had disappeared, but I've had these stashed for special occasions. And I love to use these. Because in no shape, fashion, or form do these promote anything except Christ. On the back, it has our church's phone number. But that $10 right there, and this card right here that you've got, I want you to be intentional this week with giving, okay? So I want you, that $10 is not for your coffee at McDonald's. That $10 is not for your lunch tomorrow. And the thing about it is some of us in this room are broke right now. So this is really going to test our faith in God. Because it's better to give than to receive. So I want you this week to be very intentional. Every morning when you wake up, I want you to say, God, what am I supposed to do with this $10? God, what am I supposed to do with this $10? And see how challenging it is when you are somewhere and you have to go up and actually confront someone and say, hey, God told me to give this to you. And he also told me to give you this card. That's challenging. When God actually tells you to go face to face with someone, it's easy to do it like this, okay? At the McDonald's drive-thru to say, I want to pay for their food behind me and give them this card. That's the easy way out. I'm praying that you have to take the hard way out with this, okay? And God might tell you to add money to that to give to someone. That's fine. This is just a foundation for you to use, that $10 is, to give. And please use this. Because then it lets them know that it's not me doing it, but it's the love of Christ that compels me. Pray about it this week. See what God leads you to do. Okay? See where he leads you. And he might lead you to buy the people behind you in the drive-thru at McDonald's. He's had me do that more than once. And sometimes he doesn't necessarily tell me to say anything, just to do the act of kindness. You pray and see what he tells you to do with it, okay? But it's not for a pack of Marlboros either, I'll just tell you now. I'm praying that if you buy cigarettes with that, it's going to be one of the biggest regrets of your life. It will. Oh, I shouldn't have bought those. Okay? Use that how God tells you to use that. That's not yours. That's not mine. That's his. But I want you to pray for vision and be very intentional with it, okay? Very intentional. Godly vision causes us to live with an eternal perspective is what it does. My wife freaked out when I told her I was going to give everybody $100. She said, really? God didn't tell me that either. If you're married and God is telling you to do something big like that, he is going to tell your spouse too, okay? He's not going to tell me to give away my truck or to give away one of my houses and not tell my wife and give a confirmation. So please don't ever say that Jason said, you know, God told me to give this away. Nope. If he hadn't confirmed it with your spouse, I wouldn't do it. Just saying. I don't want to cause any divorces. Usually if it's something really big like that, he's going to give you a confirmation through his word. He's going to give you an absolute confirmation, probably two or three. He's not going to, for me, it's not usually just a little whim on something big. I'm going to step back and pace myself because I'm led by my feelings a lot. If it's something really big, yes, it's okay to hesitate sometimes, okay? And to make sure it's the voice of truth. Make sure it's God telling you to do it. Because like I said, there's a huge difference in a good thing and a God thing. If God's telling me to give away $10,000, I want to make sure it's God telling me, because that's going to have a huge impact in the person's life that I'm giving it to if it's a God thing. If it's a Jason thing, they're going to go buy a jet ski and I'm done. You know, I just wasted 10 grand. But if it's a God thing, it's going to have an eternal impact on their life. So by all means, if God ever tells you something large like that, line it up. Go to your pastor. Go to an elder in the church and say, here's what I think God's telling me to do. Will you pray for me in this aspect too? Go to somebody that has more, you know what I'm saying? Go to an elder or somebody and also ask them to pray. And then don't go around tooting the horn and saying, you know what God told me to do and I did, do. We're not supposed to let one hand know what the other one's doing when we give, okay? We do what we do in secret, God rewards openly. You know, we give and we pray in the closet and we give secretly. And then there's a reason why we have blessed lives. So, 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. C.S. Lewis put it this way. If you read history, you'll find that Christians who did the most for the present world were actually thinking of the next world the most. Christians who do the most in this world are those who thought most of the next. Giving brings joy, unexpressible joy. Giving doesn't bring a temporary happiness. To me, it brings eternal joy, knowing that I've grasped what I have is not mine. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If I had one of our tithe buckets, I would give you a demonstration. You know when the tithe bucket comes, everybody goes, oh crap, it's time to tithe. You know what we should do when that, yeah, I use that word quite often. You know what we should do when the tithe bucket comes? We should be happy. We should clap. We should be cheerful that we get to give. And we should be excited. When we get to give, I love God compels me to give. It just fills me with joy. I get all jittery and shaky. you know, when I'm talking to people and God tells me to do this or that, I'm all shaking. I'm like, golly, you know, but it should. We should be cheerful givers, not under compulsion, not because somebody's pressuring us to give, but because God is gently nudging us. You know, let me see that bucket. This should not make you pucker up, okay? This shouldn't make you pucker up. This should make you happy. And when you talk about money and tithing, people seem to draw up in the... They get all puckered up. They do. When you start talking about money, people don't like it. This should be a joyful occasion right here. Because God loves a cheerful giver. I would love it that those of us are in this room tonight, Sunday, when it's time to take a tithe, we all start clapping. Woo! Yeah! And get excited. There's about 16 or 20 of us in here, and the people be like, what? I'm a cheerful giver. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I just love to give. Seriously, start clapping. There's a church that we went to visit, and when he had about 80 people, he said he actually asked them every time the tithe bucket, it's time to take a tithe, the whole church together would get cheerful and get happy. But instead, we're like, oh, man. Oh, man. I give online. I don't pass it down. Because we make it about the people beside us instead of about God. It doesn't matter. It don't matter to me if you give online or don't give at all. None of what I've said is for me. None of what I've said is for Pastor. What I've said for the last 3 weeks is between you and God. Giving. See, God doesn't need my resources, but I need a limitless God and his limitless resources. So when I give, that opens up my limitless God and his limitless resources in my life is what giving does for me. When you give, it doesn't help me. When I give, it doesn't help you unless God tells me to give to you. But it taps into something that we can't tap into otherwise. You're not going to tap into God's resources if you're selfish and greedy and everything is mine, mine, mine. That's what two-year-olds say. Four-year-olds, mine, mine, mine. It seems like we're born with selfishness, doesn't it? When you have two kids, they're automatically selfish. It's something that has to be broken in us. It is. It's something that we have to develop a spirit of generosity. Let me put it that way. Because automatically our human nature is greed and selfishness. So the final ingredient is joy. There's people that are quick to give. It's because they want to. It's not out of obligation or duty. I know people that are addicted to giving. It seems like they're addicted. They look for opportunities to give above and beyond their tithe. Somebody says something, I guarantee that I know a person that if I called them today and said, hey, I feel like, you know, we need to do this particular thing. I kind of feel compelled to do it. And we need such and such dollar. They'd say, okay, I'll do that. And they have a bank account that's probably that thick. And they give, it doesn't matter what you ask this person for. If they believe it's eternal perspective, they're going to give to it, period. I've seen people, when I was out at John 3:16, that see that God is actually doing things through that ministry. And they give, you know, $40,000 one guy did last year. One lump, he gave $40,000. That's a big gift. And that's not a tithe, I'll guarantee that. That man tithes. That was just a gift that he gave. But you know that $40,000 still sows into my life 7 years later. See, because when we give, when God tells us, it has that eternal perspective. So many times we give to institutions and things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Given to something that's going to have an eternal, everlasting effect, not only in your life, but into the thing you give it into. I also heard a man that one guy didn't make it at John 3:16, and some guy actually told him, he said, you wasted every dollar I ever gave to this ministry. I went, wow. He said, you wasted it. He said, there's no return for it. He said, you wasted all of my money and everyone else that gave the whole time you were here. And I'm over there going, dang. I'm glad I made it. Imagine what he would have said to me. You know, I would have cried. He said that. I'm sorry. I'll try better next time. So joy in giving is a trademark of a generous spirit. Think of giving not as a duty, but as a privilege. It's not a duty. I get to give. I don't have to give. I get to give. I get to tithe. I hope that we become a church, not that we got to give, but that we get to give. We get to give to the young lady going on the mission trip for a month. Where's she going again? Thailand. Okay, you think I want my 18-year-old daughter going to Thailand? I believe that's a God project there for an 18-year-old young lady to be going to Thailand this season in the world. That's a God thing. Every one of us should sow into that generously. We should. We should sow generously into God's things. Every time we give or we're generous, we have the opportunity to bring God's love into someone's life in a tangible way. One of the best things that I think about Celebrate Recovery do is feed people. It's one of the best things that we do. We have people that come on Friday nights that come for 3 months and eat and never one time come into this auditorium. But you know what? They're hungry. What did Jesus say? Hey, God bless you, man. I know you're hungry. Go on. No, he said feed them, didn't he? He said if they ask you to walk a mile, go two. You think that extra blessings and that blessing's in the first mile, walk the second. You want to see a blessing. They ask for one, give them two. That's when the blessings start pouring into your life, when you develop a generous spirit. My life is unbelievably blessed. I was the greediest person ever. It was mine, 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 mine. That's one of the first things that went in me when I got saved. And it's amazing what God has done in my life. Amazing. There's always room to expand our capacity to be generous. And like I said, even if doing so isn't easy, it's always worth it. Psalms 112:5 reminds us, good will come to those who are generous. Having a generous spirit expands our lives and positions us to experience true satisfaction and significance. Significance is something that's pretty cool. So why does God bless us? And I know that we know the right thing to say. We're blessed to be a blessing. But do we really show that? Do we really do that? I mean, everybody knows that that's what the Bible says if you've been in church any length of time or read your Bible at all. His blessings flow to me so that they can flow through me. That's why they flow to me. That's why we're blessed. And being blessed doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that I've got $1 million in the bank. But it does mean that I have enough for mine and to always, always share some. My bills are always paid and there's always something extra to give away. Always. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So what is the end result of our generosity? Thanksgiving to God. That's what the end result should be. This week, take this serious, okay? You know, I hope and pray that when you got saved, you actually developed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and didn't just raise your hand in some prayer and say, hey, I'm saved and I'm done. I hope you actually talk to him daily and spend a little time in his word. You know what I'm saying? So that you know his voice and get to know him personally, because there's so much more than coming and sitting on Sundays and listening to Pastor Joe or Pastor David preach. It's a daily thing with God, a daily thing. So take this very seriously. And pray about it. And I hope and pray that he makes you so uncomfortable in this. I do. I hope and pray that you get a little uncomfortable so that it'll help you to realize that. It's going to be neat too. I've been really uncomfortable in some giving situations. I have. Really uncomfortable. Made pastor really uncomfortable one time. You know. But I do. I hope and pray that he gets you out of your comfort zone to bless somebody else. So you already have a $10 seed and you have a card. Okay. So the three things that we've talked about for worry-free finances: tithe consistently, bringing 10% of your income to God through your local church, budgeting, managing the other 90%. I call that protecting my tithe, because I can tithe consistently, but if I don't protect it by managing the other 90, it's just like throwing seed in the wind. See, I want to plant it nice and neat in rows and get this stuff organized and taken care of properly. I don't just want to scatter it abroad. I want to put it where God tells me to, and then pour a little water on it through managing, and then pour a little bit more water on it through developing a spirit of generosity, and watch this seed grow in your life. But there's some things you have to do. You don't just do one and not the other two, and things don't. Yes, it'll pan out a little bit, but if you want the full extent of Malachi, what he says in there, you've got to go through the full procedure of tithing, budgeting, and a spirit of generosity, okay? So I thank you guys for coming. I'm going to be praying for you this week also as you do this. How many of you in here have been prompted by God to do a random act of kindness financially? 1, 2, 3. So if you have, and some of us maybe not, okay. So this week, you have no excuse because God already gave you 10 bucks and God already gave you a card. So you have no excuse not to. And if you do spend it on the coffee at McDonald's, I hope you spill it in your lap and burn the tar out of yourself. Take that. And I'll be praying that for you this week too. That coffee's extra hot, and you can't sue them either if it burns you. That's already been done, remember? So this is a whole new aspect of being a Christian, giving is. It's some of us, you know, and like I said, until 7 years ago, everything was mine. I was an absolute 100% greedy, selfish person. God has done some amazing things in me and through me in the last 7 years. Like I said a few weeks ago, I'll never forget one of the first times when I called Pastor and I was like, wow, did he really just tell me to do this for free? I needed the money, I thought. But what I needed was a spirit of generosity. So, hey, let me pray for you tonight before we get out of here. Father God, I thank you that you freely give to us so that we can freely give to others. Father, I pray tonight for each of us, Lord God, that we learn, Lord God, to bring the whole tithe to you, Lord God, to quit robbing you. Because, Lord, it's not about what we've taken from you, but it's about what you want to give to us, Lord God, and through us. Father, help us to be good stewards and managers of what you've given and put into our hands, Lord God, to remember that it's yours. Father, I pray tonight that each of us develop a spirit of generosity. Lord God, that we receive from you freely, so we learn to give freely, Lord God. Lord, you've sown $10 into each of us tonight. Father, I pray tonight that that seed takes root in someone's life to show your love. Father, that is much more than $10, Lord God. But that is a seed of your love and your kindness and your grace, Lord God. Lord, get us out of our comfort zone with this, Father. Get us out of our comfort zone. Help us to understand, Lord God, that what we have truly belongs to you. And that it is to be sown back into your kingdom. Father, I just love you. I just thank you. I just praise you. And it's in Jesus' most powerful and precious name. Amen.